Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back to Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
Hour number three of Fitzy and Hart on WEI. Andy, can you name this? Can you name this theme song?
No. Let's move on.
Wait, listen to this. Come on, this is iconic TV theme right here.
What year? What decade?
What year, what decade? How about it ran for 33 years on TV from 1982 to 2015, 2016? That's the theme to David Letterman.
Oh, yeah, I was never a late-night TV guy. I go to bed early. I'm like,
do you do anything but talk football, drink eggnog, and be grumpy?
Some of us like to get up early in the morning and have productive days. We don't drink ourselves into a stupor, watch late-night TV, and sleep in all day.
Nothing to do with... See, you're always... Yeah, look at you. Bright, shiny object over here. Distract and divert. Come on. That's Letterman. Why would I have us play the Letterman theme? Because he is a special guest tomorrow night on ESPN2's coverage of Monday Night Football on the Manning Cast. Now, will David Letterman joining Peyton, who he loves because he's a Ball State guy, Indiana, Indianapolis, the whole routine, Letterman's home area. Will David Letterman, being on the Manning Cast tomorrow night, have you seek alternative coverage, perhaps, of Monday Night Football?
No. I like the Manning Cast a lot when it's a neutral game, when I'm just watching. I enjoy that because I can just watch the game, have a little entertainment from them, the guests, whatever. But I will be watching traditional broadcast, yes.
Yeah, normally I enjoy the Manning Cast very much. It's had nothing against Lewis Riddick, Greasy, and Steve Levy, former part owner of the Baseball Tavern, one of ESPN's finest. It has nothing to do with that. I just like the insight they bring. I like Eli busting on Peyton's chops all the time, making the big head jokes. Sometimes I like the guests, sometimes not so much. I could just listen to the two of them. I'm hoping that'll be on YouTube, because that'll be interesting to see Letterman talking about Belichick and the return of Patriots greatness against Buffalo with those guys. That'll be fun, but I'll still be on the traditional broadcast as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number for two-way sports talk on a Sunday with Fitzy and Hart. Give me Dan in Rhode Island. What up, Danny? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
How are you, Pally?
Good. So, Fitz, you know I try to keep it realistic.
Every time.
If you told me even like a month ago, even with the records back then, I would have said these guys were going to split. That's just because I think that's the way it's going to be. And I can't get around. I mean, the press, Buffalo needs this game like there's no tomorrow. You know, you look at their schedule, and there's no way they can go into New England without winning this game. I love Buffalo every which way possible. I mean, I've never bet it. I just feel like the fact that they're just the more talented team, the way they are right now. I mean, they were good last year for a reason, and I think the Patriots, you guys kept saying, like, you know, there's a learning experience here probably for Jones. I totally think that's true, and I can only see this game happen in two ways. It becomes a rock fight. Maybe the weather is a product of that. But I think, Andy, as you said, if they get up 10 to 2 touchdowns very quickly, I think it could get out of hand really fast, because even with the defense, this isn't the boogeyman defense, obviously, where they played a bunch of frauds. But when you look at the schedule, yeah, they beat a couple of decent teams, but they haven't really had a supreme test yet in the winning streak, as far as I can tell. That's about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Solid call as always, Dan in Cranston.
Oh, you're okay with that? He just said Bills all the way.
I told you earlier, I'll say it again. I think Buffalo is going to come at it tomorrow night as if this is like with season on the line energy. They want to defend their crown. They want to show the Patriots they're the better team right now. They also know that if they lose to the Patriots, they could be on the other end of an L to the Patriots in a couple weeks. And, oh, by the way, sandwiched in between is a date at the new house that has a pirate ship of their oppressor of the previous 20 years in Tom Brady, who, by the way, McDermott does have great numbers against. I think he had the best numbers of any head coach in the 20 years that Brady was in the AFC East, or the 18, 19 years, whatever it was, those two decades. So, yeah, not an easy run, not an easy time for the Bills coming up. So, yeah, they're going to come at tomorrow night, like, absolutely, with the energy of five teams fired up like it's Friday Night Lights. Go ahead, buddy. That's what we do.
So the Bills are 7-4. Patriots are 8-4.
Yep.
Which team would you see is more likely to win 10 games? More insured of winning 10 games?
Right now, if I had to, I got to make one pick. Buffalo.
Yeah, me too. That's why I don't. It's an important game. I think there's a lot of pressure on them from a narrative perspective.
Pats only have one gimme game the rest of the way, Andy. They only have one gimme game the rest of the way.
The Bills have borderline three.
Mm-hmm.
Three gimmies. And,
but they also they also flubbed a dub earlier in the season, and they have more head scratchers than the Patriots. So there's that.
Patriots flubbed a dub too, opening day. They both on opening day flubbed a dub. Versus Carolina, versus Atlanta, versus New York Jets. Three games at, I looked it up, it is now called Highmark Stadium. I don't know what that is. But Highmark Stadium, the Buffalo Bills, will host the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Jets. We should pencil in wins, right? If not, then they fell on their face and they don't deserve to go anywhere or do anything, or their choke jobs, whatever. So that's why I don't put it 100% in the must win or anything like that. I also don't rule out them beating the Bucks by any nature. That's why, like, these two teams are really interesting to me. Not just the game, but the next month, where they are in the division, where they are in the conference, where they are in the development of their quarterbacks, because that's another narrative that's taken off that, like, they're going to regret Josh Allen, like, giving him that contract, and he's not the guy, he's not as good. It's funny, the week where Bill Belichick jumped on the Josh Allen bandwagon, at least publicly, on the record, as Bill would put it, and went, oh, it's remarkable how good he's become in his development. The rest of the world seems to have cooled a little bit on Josh Allen, which I don't really understand. I mean, the guy's a tick away from 100 passer rating. He's going to throw for 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns. Yeah, he's had a couple games where he threw multiple picks, and guess what those were? L's. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Jags. When he throws multiple picks, he's up around 10. So I just, this perception that the Bills are like dead in the water, no, they got three gimmies coming up. I'll be surprised if the Bills do not win 10 football games this year. I'll also be surprised if the Patriots don't, but if you made me pick one or the other, give me the Buffalo Bills to be a double-digit win team.
That's why tomorrow night is going to tell us so much. Can the Patriots hang with the Bills in those conditions? That'll set up the day after Christmas game when the Patriots host the Bills. Oh, by the way, they get a bye week, but it's not a full 14-day bye. It's a 12-day bye, which still is a good amount of time.
Are you sulking about that? Are you whining about that?
No, no, no. I said I'm just pointing it out for data. I'm just pointing it out for data's sake, just to be transparent, because it is the truth.
The NFL screwed the Patriots. Everybody else gets 2 weeks. We get 12 days.
I said it's more than enough time to rest, reset, and refresh to get ready for the Saturday night affair against the Colts in Indianapolis. I think they'll be fine. Duggar should certainly be back, although we still don't know, like, was he vaccinated? Was he unvaccinated? Was he symptomatic? We don't know. Guess where we're not going to find out? From the Patriots. But we do know there are some interesting nuggets on week 13. Let's take a quick look around, Andy. We got about 5 minutes before we trend. Let's take a look at week 13 real quick. Who you like? What are the big games? Interesting note. Ready for this? Minshew Mania shall be reborn. Jalen Hurts a lot. He's not starting for the Eagles today. That's right. I should have said that as Chris, in Chris Berman voice. Jalen Hurts a lot.
Hey,
Minshew Mania.
You want to come take a ride with the Mississippi Mud Flat?
Yes.
No.
My guy, Gardner Minshew, starts for the Eagles against the Jets, 1 o'clock at MetLife, Dreadlife Stadium, whatever you want to call it. Any intrigue there or no?
No. Although he probably just wrapped up doing, doesn't he do jumping jacks and a jock strap in the locker room in the morning? So he probably just wrapped that up. He's probably got pants on now. No, that's a bad football game. That's
I wanted the Patriots to trade for him.
Why?
Because he's good. He's highly like Jim Nagy's favorite quarterback, not named Mac Jones. The guy's great. He's really, he can sling
Jim
it as
Nagy
a pro.
He likes a lot of people. He also loves Jarrett Stidham. I like Jim, but He likes a lot of quarterbacks.
The game that we're covering at one, I'm all in now. I'm suddenly a temporary Eagles fan. I can't wait. I hope he balls out and crushes the Jets.
I hope his jock is on. I don't want balls out. What?
Okay, what? You made me laugh on purpose for a change. Good job. 1 o'clock also, the game that we'll be covering here on WEI when we throw to coverage at 12:30, Colts at the Texans. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor should run for about 250 yards in that one, Andy. More intriguing, Giants at the Dolphins. What's up with this Dolphins win streak? They should easily be able to run it to five today against a banged-up Giants team that has the old pencil-neck geek Mike Glennon starting at quarterback.
Yeah, the Dolphins are a tough team to, like, you thought they were going to be good coming into the year. Brian Flores is a good coach. Oh, they struggled at, well, they should have beat you. You lose them, the whole thing. Then everybody had, like, Flores on watch for, could he be fired? Are they going to go in a different direction? Are they going the Deshaun Watson? Now they're kind of good again. I really have no idea what to make of the Dolphins or what to make of that late season trip to Miami. There's a lot going on there.
I think it's going to be tough. That defense is playing really, really, really well right now. Blitzing people left and right. And one of the guys I loved in the draft, Jalen Phillips, defensive end out of Miami, now playing in Miami. His teammate, Gregory Rousseau, is up in Buffalo. Those guys can get after it. Three other games of interest for the Patriots fan today that don't involve your former six-time Super Bowl champion on the road in Atlanta. 1 o'clock, the Chargers are playing the Bengals. Which way do you see this one? I love this game, too. I think you're actually we're actually getting coverage of that one in Boston today.
Good.
Where do you see this one going? Because I think I'm leaning Bengals. This may be a Joe Burrow show-out game. Or is it Herbie the Love Bug strikes again?
You know, if the Patriots lose and the Bengals win this game, I think you're going to see an acceleration of Bengals love. There's a lot of people that look at the Bengals as they're starting to project playoff teams, playoff matchups.
This one's earlier this season, though, Andy. It's dangerous.
Well, but they're built a certain way. I don't know how good they are, but if you look at it, run the ball, throw the ball, star playmaker, quarterback coming into his own, can play some defense. They're a pretty well-rounded football team in a year where people are looking at the flaws of everybody as much as they're looking at the strengths. And I found it interesting. Drew Brees last week when they were talking Sunday Night Football, like, who are the best teams in the AFC? And everybody's like, I don't know. Ask me next week. I'll tell you a different team than this week. He was projecting, and people were talking, Patriots and Bengals because they might be the best well-rounded football teams, even if they don't have the star quarterbacks, the star, you know, sort of makeup as you start to believe in Joe Burrow or believe in Mac Jones. I just think I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals in this one. I was too high on the Chargers early, as you said. A lot of people are too high on the Bengals early, but I think Joe Burrow will get a little something-something to him.
I do, too. I like the kid a lot, and right now, between Burrow and Mac Jones, love me my Mac Jones, but I think Joe Burrow is the real deal.
I would trade Mac Jones every freaking day of the week for Joe Burrow. I think he's a Hall of Fame stud.
I'm not even going to be looking at the text line right now because I'm sure bad words are being said about both of us. Just having fun, folks. We're talking football. R-E-L-A-X. Two other games real quick. Andy, 425. I can't believe it, but we're going to have to root for the soon-to-be-retiring Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers as they take on the Ravens, who are currently sitting atop the AFC. Ooh, this game used to be like such great, intense, like football, and now it may just be kind of sad because the Steelers stink.
Yeah, they do sneaky stink, even though they are 500, and Mike Tomlin could once again avoid a losing season, even though I do not think they're a very good football team, and I don't know what they're going to do at the quarterback position moving forward. But yeah, as a Patriots fan, I would certainly be rooting hard for Big Ben to have some throwback day in this battle that is always physical. And it's that those games, those rivalry physical division games, always walk a fine line. You're like, is this a really physical game or is this just an ugly game? And
yeah.
I have the feeling this one might be an ugly game. But yeah, root hard for the Steelers. My guess is the Ravens will win.
And finally, the Steelers are all banged up. Although TJ Watt should be coming back. He was reactivated off the COVID-19 list. That could make a big difference for the Steelers.
Also could make a big difference in Matthew Judon's Defensive Player of the Year resume, because if TJ Watt stays healthy, his numbers are better. More sacks, more forced fumbles, more fumble recoveries. If he has a little run here in December, he could certainly be the pace setter in the Defensive Player of the Year.
And also watch out for Nick Bosa, who is just an absolute animal and a force in the resurgent 49ers, who are in Seattle for a 425 today tilt. against the carcass of the Seattle Seahawks. And finally, 8:20 tonight, Broncos at the Chiefs. I can't believe the Chiefs are 10.5-point favorites. A little too much?
Can you trust the Chiefs? Like, that's a lot of points to lay for a team that I don't trust at all. I know they're getting
a little
better.
It's a team with a good defense and a winning record coming to town, yeah.
And the Chiefs' defense is playing better, and you're starting to think they're figuring out their offense, but that's a lot of points to lay, even though, I mean, I certainly think they could win it. Just to recap on the last two games we mentioned, though.
Yeah.
Big Ben, done in Pittsburgh, gone. They're going to need a quarterback. Lots of cap space moving forward. Seahawks, done in Seattle. And we know Russell Wilson dabbled with the idea of wanting to be traded. We know that Aaron Rodgers would be out there. Interesting if the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the market for a big-name trade quarterback this offseason. Something to keep an eye on.
Mm. Could Watson be on the move? Actually, not could he. Will he be?
Oh, he will be. I don't think the Steelers would take him. I don't think the Roonies would want to take on
that
idea.
And Russell, I like that Russell Wilson maybe to the Giants rumor that started. Like, that could make a lot of sense to me. But also, Andy, the thing to keep your eye on, can those teams rebuild on the fly from within without having to move out of the house the way the Patriots did so quickly? Something
Steelers
else to keep
could.
An eye on.
Steelers definitely could. With that, with the stars they have on defense, Najee Harris, and the way they draft, if they
good
get a quarterback
receivers.
And the
yep.
coach, that they could be a quick turnaround team. And quite frankly, I mean, they're only 5-5-1. They're going to be in Patriot land where they're a mediocre drafting team in the middle of the draft somewhere looking to get a quarterback, turn things around quick, and it wouldn't stun me if they're good next year.
That's your Week 13 rooting guide and what's going on. Of course, Patriots tomorrow night, 8:20 on Monday Night Football, 617.
Who are you rooting for in that one?
Well, you'll have to wait and hang around for the other side of the break
a
on that.
Homer in the heart out here.
617-779-7937 is the number. Let's trend, and then we'll talk a little Celtics with John Corrales.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back to Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
Taking a quick break from all this football talk and everything Patriots, because we are so fired up for Patriots at Bills tomorrow night. I don't want to talk Red Sox right now because I'm mad at Major League Baseball for locking out again. Just because we had a good season and our interest came back, of course, baseball decides that the rich have to decide to argue over how much money the rich people are going to make. I wanted to talk a little Celtics, and joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, my pal John Corrales, Celtics beat writer for Boston Sports Journal and the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Johnny, it's time to check back in once again. How are you, my man?
I am doing great. How you doing?
Great. I know you're always better when you wake up after a big victory, of course. I'm sure, and I know you're fired up for tomorrow night's game as well. How do you, real quick, before we talk your specific forte, Celtics, how fired up are you for the Patriots right now, considering that they were, well, seemingly irrelevant, and of course we had last year, and now, 8-4. We've watched a lot of big games together. This is going to be a little extra, yeah, little extra juice for the Boston sports fan, huh?
Yeah, it's been fun to watch these guys kind of, pick themselves up and kind of set the example of perseverance, I suppose. It's always fun when one team can point to another and be like, see, when things don't go well, you can still fight through it and come through and succeed. So, it's the shame of this job is that it takes me away from watching some of these other sports. I think it really enhances my fandom of other things. I'm so ingrained knee deep in Celtics that watching some of these games, I'm like, oh, you know what? I haven't been paying as close attention as I have before. I'm like, oh wow, okay, they're winning again. This is great. This is fun. So it is fun to see. I know that the coaches talk and Belichick and Ime Udoka have spoken, and it's always great to see those guys. You see Patriots, one of the biggest pops in the Garden is when Kraft is in the arena. Once they show him on camera on the Jumbotron, whole place goes nuts. So if the Celtics are ever down 10, you show Bob Kraft, crowd goes crazy, juices up the game. So it's a lot of fun.
And then the Celtics find a way to lose by 17. It's always a good time. It's always a good time. Man, I would love to be a fly on the wall of a conversation between Belichick and Ime Udoka. I feel like there's a lot of love for Udoka. There's a lot of respect for him. Came in pretty touted, one of the brighter young minds. Celtics sit currently at 13-11, so wanted to check in, almost at the little past the quarter mark, not yet quite at the third of the way through the season. To me, if I had to pick, as a fan, not a casual fan, but not a super fan and a knowledgeable one like yourself, my storyline for the season so far would be, as the Schroeder goes, so go the Celtics. How would you describe the season to date?
Well, I think the season has been a learning experience. If I had to give it a headline,
yep,
I'd say it was a learning experience for everybody. It's Ime learning how to be a head coach on the job. It's Jason Tatum learning how to expand his game. It's one of the things that Ime has challenged Tatum to become more of a passer, to become more of a guy who makes his teammates better. And the team learning about what they really have in Jason Tatum and, to some degree, Jaylen Brown, who started out the season great, was their best player through the first 9 games, and then he's been hurt with that hamstring. But this whole thing, and then one more thing that they're learning is, Who do they really have around these guys? How does Marcus Smart really work as the point guard? And yeah, Schroeder has been great in some games. He's been a little up and down, but he's, as he's been, like you said, in his biggest games, they've really needed his dribble penetration and the ability to get to the rim, break down in defense. The only thing with Schroeder is that there's almost no way that he can come back next year. So this is like a fun side story that I don't put a whole lot of stock in, because if he plays this well, he's going to get a big contract somewhere else that the Celtics absolutely cannot match. And if he doesn't play well, then he's not going to get a contract somewhere else, and you're not going to want to sign him anyway. But this whole thing has been one big learning experience. So the Celtics know how to proceed, move forward, and do you have an MVP candidate in Tatum, or do you have a Carmelo Anthony in Tatum and you need another star? If you have the MVP candidate, you can go try find a Drew Holiday type thing like Milwaukee did and fill out your roster there without giving up Smart and some of the other key young pieces. If these guys need a third star, now you're starting to give up some of these young guys. It changes the whole course of the franchise.
John, as a longtime defender and fan of Jaylen Brown, I'm starting to get a little worried that this could be one of those lost seasons due to the injuries. I think he's played in about half their games. You're getting to about a third of the way through the season. Is there a concern here that maybe they rushed him back and that this is just going to be one of those lingering things as he battles these injuries and this year could be kind of a lost one?
Well, you know, to be clear, this is just the one injury. So this is the right hamstring. But to your point, it's a lingering thing and an injury that he suffered before. The right hamstring is a problem area for Jaylen Brown. And we asked Ime directly, did he come back too soon? How do you, you know, what do you guys think of the plan to bring him back? And he said, look, we went through what we felt like were the proper protocols. He is going to have some tightness back there. And that's why he said from the beginning when Jaylen was coming back, he's going to be basically day to day throughout the next couple of weeks, which means that sometimes he's going to feel good enough to play and some he's not. And he says that Jaylen fought really, really hard to play in that Portland game last night, and they wouldn't let him because they want to be cautious. So it's going to be an up and down thing. I know Jaylen has said he wants to make sure that they do it the right way this time, so he doesn't have to have it linger, so it doesn't come back and you know, a season from now or something else, that right hamstring becomes an issue again. It is a little bit of a concern when one particular area on somebody becomes a chronic, maybe chronic is not the best word, but a repeat thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the lost season concept hasn't really crossed my mind, even though hamstrings are tricky, because it's so early in the season that I think he can come back and be okay. So he felt good enough to want to play last night. They have 2 days off before a back-to-back. And they have a stretch after they come back from the road trip where they have 3 days off between Milwaukee and, I think, Golden State. So the schedule eases up a little bit where they can try him. If he's good enough to play against the Lakers, maybe he sits against the Clippers and they just kind of let it heal. But, yeah, I understand the concern.
John, we're speaking with John Corrales, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Harbor One Hotline. See, to me, as you say, this is a learning experience, a season so far, 24 games into the 82-game schedule, where Ime Udoka is learning. Tatum's learning how to play a new role. They're learning how to play with a new point guard. There's so much talent on this team to begin with that it's difficult, I think, for fans to recalibrate their expectations. But maybe we'll get the month of December in these next couple weeks to try to sort of do just that. Because while you say there's a little bit of a rest period coming up, I see the run from now to Christmas as kind of a daunting little test for the Celtics. Now, you're playing the Lakers on the road Tuesday. It's not the same Laker team by any stretch. There are more questions on that team, I think, you know, just with LeBron and his issues and having to be out for COVID. Can Anthony Davis stay healthy? What do you do with Russell Westbrook? And there's Kemba trade buzz to the Lakers now, which is weird, and what a season that guy's having. But then you play the Clippers on the road. You play the white-hot Suns. You come home for the Bucks and the other hottest team in the NBA, the Warriors. Then you have the Knicks and the Sixers. Like, that's a hell of a 2.5-week run for the Celtics. I feel like by Christmas we're going to know exactly what the mettle of this team is.
Yeah, this is a great test. I've hoped that they could come out of this basically just treading water, because I don't think anybody realistically put the Celtics in the class of the elite in the NBA. I thought coming in that middle of the Eastern Conference pack is where they would end up, and they're still kind of right there on the edge of that. Yeah, they play Milwaukee twice. They play the Clippers twice. They play Phoenix twice this month. You throw in a Cleveland team that's been surprising, a Minnesota team that has been, you know, a little bit better. And this is a tough month. You got to try to get through this, because January is where you get Orlando, San Antonio, where the Celtics lost, but is a beatable team. The Knicks twice, they're struggling. The Pacers twice, no one knows what the hell they are. You got, you know, New Orleans. You got Portland again, Sacramento, Washington, Atlanta. Teams that are between good and not so good in there. So come out of December, show that you can play to that competition, steal a few of these games, win the games you're supposed to win, maybe you beat a Clippers team. Maybe you find a way to beat Milwaukee one of those games. Come out of it 500, maybe a little bit above 500, and then take those lessons, take that, and storm through a January schedule where it's normally the doldrums. Take that opportunity to get fat on a January schedule and go into the All-Star break with some momentum and some confidence in each other. That's the big thing. You know, this is a team that has a little bit of a wide variance, and I know fans, once the season tips off, it is all about the wins and losses, and it's hard to pull back to that 10,000-foot view, which is what the front office is really taking here. Like, the moves that are being made or will be made are not necessarily to get this team better this season. I mean, maybe he will, maybe Brad Stevens will, but if the Celtics are going to do this right, they do have to take a bigger picture view. But they also, at the same time, you have to throw Tatum and Brown and these guys. The players are caught up in the wins and losses too, because what the hell are you out there for if you're not going to worry about winning these games? So you got to throw those guys a bone as well and make sure that they have a chance to make their deep playoff run and whatever. So look, this is a tough December. If they can play the right way and they've been doing it a little bit more, then they can get the high end of their talent and capitalize on that and run through a weak January. And maybe by the break, you can sit there and feel a little bit better about what they've done.
John, we opened. Fitzy gave you a little bit of a crossover question talking Patriots. Mac Jones, 12 games in, has ascended to franchise caliber quarterback pedestal, franchise player pedestal in Boston. So I'm going to ask you a question because I think early career pedestal was something that both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have been put on. Rank those three guys. Who will be in Boston sports the longest? Mac Jones, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum.
So, I mean, I think football is a little different than the NBA when it comes to player movement. So I think Mac Jones, probably the longest. Then Jason Tatum Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Only because I think Jaylen Brown's contract comes up first. And so there's a non-zero chance here that the Celtics screw this up. And Jaylen Brown comes out and says, you know what, I'm done. You know, either trade me or, you know, when his contract's up, he leaves in free agency. I mean, that's certainly a possibility. I don't think that's how it goes, but, you know, I'm not gonna say that's not how it goes either. Like there's that certain possibility. That's why teams are afraid to piss off their players. That's why they look. One of the things that the Celtics did was they kept Tony Dobbins around, an assistant coach from the Brad Stevens era who worked closely with Jaylen Brown. He loves Tony Dobbins. He loves working with Tony Dobbins, and the Celtics kept him on the staff. Now he's also a really good coach, and he probably earned a spot on the staff regardless of Jaylen Brown's status or not. But also, it's Jaylen Brown's favorite coach, and yeah, you're gonna keep that together. So that's why teams do things like that, to keep those guys around. So, but you never know how things are gonna go, and the NBA is notorious for player movement. So I'll go with that.
A lot of big swirling questions surrounding, obviously, more questions about the viability and potential of the Bruins and the Celtics. When will they play baseball again? And just how good is this Patriots team, being the big topics on all four, across the spectrum, John? We will forever be entranced, if you will, by the idea of, like, Ken Brown and Tatum reach their potential together. That obviously is above my pay grade. It's something I know you study, discuss, and podcast and write about on a daily basis, and that's why we keep tuning in, because we still think that this team can do more and we want them to work together. I don't know if they can stick around together forever, but one guy who did come back, and this is the last one for me, Al Horford. I think everyone thought Al Horford coming back was just going to be like, oh, they took the salary back, or oh, it's just like, maybe at best he's going to be the Udonis Haslam for them. He'll just be an extra coach on the bench and a cheerleader. Al's been good.
He's been really good.
He has. He's been really good, right? So when I say, like, I love, you know, like, I like, I call Al Horford the buffet because he does a little bit of everything pretty well. and every team needs a guy like that. Is the Al Horford reunion tour as good as I think it is from the outside fan perspective?
I think so. I think he's been great. I think he's been everything that the Celtics have needed. And frankly, I'll go so far as to say I don't know that they stay afloat without Al Horford. I think he's been the one. When Marcus Smart popped off and said what he said about these guys don't need to pass, or these guys need to pass more, and they're, you know, I'm sick of standing in the corner type of thing, it's Al Horford that kind of came in and said, all right, I get it. I get what he's saying. Maybe not the best timing, Marcus, but all right, time to all sit down. And it's Al Horford who gathers the team and gets the coaches to kind of, hey, give us a little space here while we work a couple of things out. And since then, the Celtics have actually been a lot better. Horford comes in off the court, and when you got two young guys with big egos and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, I mean, everybody in the NBA has got a big ego, but those guys are coming in feeling themselves as the top dogs here. And when Al Horford talks, they stop. They listen. They pay attention to what he's got to say. So he has their ears. He's got that locker room. And on the court, he's been great. Like, we can criticize the concept of Oklahoma City sitting a healthy player, and Houston's doing that with John Wall this year. But for Al, it was much needed. It kind of was a rejuvenation. And he missed last night's game, probably could have played. They had a little bit of back tightness. They want to make sure that they're not overtaxing him because he's been so important. His defense has been amazing. He and Robert Williams are both, I don't know if they still are today, but they went into the game both in the top 10 in blocked shots. For a short time, Al Horford was leading the league in blocked shots. I mean, everything, literally everything you could ask for from Al Horford, he did. It's been... And I agree with you with what the thought process was coming in, because that's what I thought too. I thought, oh, you know, it's going to be sad that Al is kind of in that role. And nope, he's a starter. He's earned it. He's the pseudo captain of the team. And I think he's been great. And I think one of their top priorities, just as far as wins and losses go this season, is making sure that he is healthy enough to get through this season. Because if they don't have Al out there as a stabilizing force, then their ability to win games drops significantly.
A lot of likability might be back on the table for the Celtics, John. Obviously, a guy like Horford giving you a lot of valuable minutes on the court, and like you said, some leadership and an emotional ballast. And I think these Celtics are trending in the direction with the likability of Udoka, the young leadership, Jason Tatum willing to try to expand his game, Schroeder popping off, maybe we get Brown back, and, you know, Marcus Smart, you know, saying what he said, and Horford backing it up and providing that sort of like paternal presence. Maybe the Celtics will be able to overcome the likability factor they faced last year as fans got frustrated and they took the early L and exit from the Nets. Maybe, you know, maybe they only go a little bit further, but they'll be more likable and you can see an outline for the future. And that's what we're here for. Great spot, John. You can follow John Corrales at John_Corrales. He's the Celtics beat writer for the Boston Sports Journal, and of course, the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Johnny, put another beer in the column, and I look forward to seeing you soon. If I don't, happy holidays, big guy.
All right. Same to you. Thanks, guys.
John Corrales joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. See, you know what? I'm glad we took a little break, because now, you know, I think the Celtics might be, you know, it's a slow turn, Andy. But the, like I said, the likability effect. Yeah, but like very slow. But like at the same time, like, people have been frustrated with the Celtics. Like, come on, you got Tatum, yep, you got Brown. Like, you guys should be better. Like, well, there's a lot of other really good teams out there. But the turnaround might be officially underway.
I hope so. I have found them utterly frustrating, not very entertaining most of this year. And I'm not going to pretend I stayed up last night and watched the game.
Well, there was no Lillard, so they won easy. But
floundering team. I still have questions about their direction. It frustrates me as a Jaylen Brown fan that he's not out there all the time. There's a lot of frustration in me as a Celtics fan this year and watching those games. And I laughed because Rich Keefe the other day, they did a tease going into a trending. You know, up next, we'll answer a question that Rich Keefe asked on our text chain today. Are the Celtics entertaining? And I was like, yeah, no. I'm not going to need 15 minutes to discuss it. No, they're not. So there's no discussion for me. They are not. Maybe they can get there. Schroeder, like Peyton Pritchard, like as you develop. But I just right now, I don't know where they're going. I hope you're right. I hope they're going in the right direction and they're going to get healthy and Brown will be back out there and they're going to compete for a, you know, mid playoff seed and can be that. But I have my doubts.
617-779-7937. Just over half an hour left of the program to sneak in your calls, your thoughts, your prediction, your analysis, your fears, your confidence. All of it's on the table as we talk Patriots at Bills. We'll do an NFL injury report and take one last look at Week 13. Then on the other side of the nooner, Chris Scheim, Scheim time, from the Gresham Keefe program will join us from the Winners Club podcast with his best bets of the day. It's all here on the table as we finish up Fitzy and Hart Sports Sunday, WEEI.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're back to Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
That's what I wanted to hear. Big Kick Nick, producer Nick LaPan bringing it. Andy, in the battle of who's got the better song, Buffalo Bills with Shout, Patriots with Josie by the outfield, the answer is
Shout.
Cut his mic.
What? Don't ask me a question if you don't want the answer. Oh, you got to play the house organ? Oh, it's the Homer and the Homer, Sunday mornings, WEEI, 9 to 12:30.
There are a few vibes. There are a few vibes. People say it's great hearing Mr. Brightside at Fenway when the new crowd gets rocking and rolling down there by the Monster and Kenmore. But I'm going to tell you, man, when the Patriots are up and they just score a big touchdown and Josie starts rocking, you see Zoe freaking out, ready to, like, basically crowd surf coming out of the booth. And Sosie's like, Zoe, no. It's just spectacular. It's a great feeling. That's way better. Shout. Come on. I know that's the Buffalo song, but does nothing for me. All right, Andy, time now for our NFL injury update. It's sponsored by Ketch's Law Group. With offices across New England, Ketch's Law Group has won over $1 billion for their injured clients since 1986. At Ketch's, you pay nothing unless they win. Injured? Get a free legal evaluation at ketcheslawgroup.com or call 508-321-7000. All right, we told you earlier that Minshew Mania is back, the Mississippi Mud Flap, the Jockstrap King. Gardner Minshew is starting in place of Jalen Hurts today for the Philadelphia Eagles as they take on the Jetropolitans at MetLife Stadium. 1 o'clock, couple other interesting actives and inactives. Andy, the Giants are going in with next to nothing. No Daniel Jones, no Sterling Shepard, no Kadarius Toney against the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a six-point favorite. We'll talk about that game in a few minutes with Scheim time. My God, do I love the Dolphins in that game. And breaking from the Arizona Cardinals at AZ Cardinals, a faux press release. The following statement was released today by Kyler Murray, located in Chicago, Illinois, in response to questions about his playing status against the Bears. I'm back, end quote, from K1. You like that? You like the whole thing, I'm back? I feel like that got thrown in Cam's face. But you mentioned earlier that the Arizona Cardinals might be the most disrespected team or underappreciated team because they have the best record in the NFL.
And they've been dealing with injuries at quarterback, star receiver, on defense, and they just keep chugging along winning. I think some of us probably don't really take Cliff Kingsbury all that seriously. If you were going to say, like, Cliff Kingsbury matched up against Bill Belichick, I'm not sure I would give Cliff a lot of credit there, but they're winning. Their stars are back now. Hopkins is playing today. So I wouldn't sleep on the Cardinals. I mean, I can't. Wouldn't this be the year, though, I guess, that the Cardinals would win it all? Like, get hot. They weren't respected, and, you know, all the other teams have flaws. I still can't really imagine, envision Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury on that podium in February in L.A. accepting the Lombardi Trophy. It just doesn't seem like it.
God. I don't even think after Cam Newton did that and then went on for that performance against the Dolphins the next week, I don't think I'd ever want to just say those two words back to back again.
He was an idiot. He shouldn't have done it. When you run in from the one, like,
yeah, it was a penalty, and you just put yourself out there. I know you wanted to be meme worthy. Well, you got what you asked for there, Cameron.
Can't spell Cam without I. Well, you can, but you know my point.
You can. I get it, yes. Let's see. The Vikings also no Dalvin Cook today, so get Madison in your starting lineup. Asante Samuel Jr. is out for the Chargers. That could be big news for the Bengals, who Andy and I both like today.
Joe, they're passing attack. Say it ain't Joe. Just go, Joe.
A pretty healthy Buccaneers squad. No Antonio Brown. Good, because that guy's a jackass. Oh, by the way, real quick, and those are the major injuries that you're looking at this week. Philip Lindsay is out, so in case you're a Miles Gaskin owner, you want to get him in there. Real quick, the Antonio Brown thing. Did you like the standard to which he was held versus Aaron Rodgers only getting fined and Antonio Brown getting three games? Just a quick take, yes or no?
Yes, 100%. One guy committed a felony. The other guy just kind of was slimy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one guy tried to be elitist. I know more than you. I'll use a little verbal sleight of hand. The other guy is a criminal, and that's right. Antonio Brown. It's pretty much...
Seems simple to me.
Pretty cut and dry. Thank you. I just wanted to get that out there one more time for the record. One guy is kind of a D-bag. The other one is a criminal. So there we have it. All right. The fourth and final hour, it's only a half an hour. Actually, at this point, it's 20 minutes. The end of our version of NFL Sunday, WEEI Sports Sunday. When we come back, my buddy, the main man, Shime Time, joins us for his NFL best bets. We're going to try to win you a couple of bucks and get you set for what should be an awesome NFL Week 13. Fitzy and Hart coming back with Shime Time. Don't go anywhere.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
The home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station. We're back to Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
Producer Nick LaPan batting 1,000 today on the musical rejoins, one of my favorite 80s songs. Andy, if you don't know who sang this, oh, you got to be kidding me. It's actually what you used to produce when you would try to interview the running backs coach for the Patriots. Tears for Fears, Andy. Oh, nice try.
Not bad by you, though.
Thanks.
Well done on like a Wheel of Fortune clue or something. Like, well done.
Can we bring in someone pop culturally relevant, please? Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, one of the co-hosts of the Winners Club. Notice I got the title right this week. Big guy, although he wasn't there this week. Good job by Lucille Burge filling in for him. And, of course, the star of the midday show, Gresham Keefe. It should be Gresham Keefe with Shime and the other guy, the one and only Chris Shime with his little noontime spotlight, the Nooner, here with us to help us win some money. How you doing, Shime Time?
Fitzy and Hart, I couldn't be happier being anywhere else than being right here with you guys.
What do you got in the oven?
I got nothing in the oven.
What? I thought you were a baker now. Though. Sunday morning?
I got a lot of picks in my stuffing, or my stocking, though.
You got a lot of picks in my stuffing.
Yeah, wrong. I'm still thinking about Thanksgiving here, Andy.
It's okay.
Shime, this to me, like, this is one of my favorite weekends of the year. Like, in addition to the fact that I think there's some juicy nuggets on the table where we can win some money. Like, you had these college football championship games yesterday. The weather is just so perfectly late fall, early holiday crisp. We're all decorating. We're shopping. We're nogging. Like, it is just a spectacular time of the year. And what better time to line your pockets with a little extra cashola, am I right?
Oh my God, this slate too, I think, is awesome for the fans of the teaser. I think there's just a lot of good games in general. There's some primetime games that, I mean, who's not going to love this Sunday night game followed into a Monday night game? And there's so many betting opportunities this week. I am unbelievably excited for all of this.
All right, I have my eye on one game that I just want to tie into everything, but I know it can be risky tying all of your Sunday action through one particular game. I'll get to that in a second. Shimer, tell me give me the juiciest nugget. Give me your absolute favorite on the board that kicks off in 45 minutes.
Yeah, there's one game that I absolutely love. It's actually not going to kick off until 8 o'clock tonight. It's the under in Kansas City, Denver tonight. It opened at 49 and the sharp bettors completely hammered that. It's come all the way down. You can get it at 46.5, 47 in some spots. I still love the under here. On the season, it's kind of this sneaky nugget that we've started to craft over the weeks, and it's that teams coming off bye have actually been really bad over the season so far. They're 8-14 against the spread and 16-6 on the under. So I think the under here is 100% the play, especially because Kansas City's defense is only averaging like 12 points allowed per game over the last 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, and Denver's offense is by no means prolific. So I think the under in this game is an absolute lock. I don't love Denver now being +8. At one point, they were like +10. That I liked more. So if this number goes back up to 9, 9.5, I may be more apt to bring in Denver as well. But I think the under is the absolute lock of the day.
I might be convinced to tease in Denver. If I get him at 9, maybe tease him up to 15. That wouldn't be bad because that gets you 2 touchdowns. Shime, they were 10 and a hook earlier in the week, and I wish I jumped all over that because I think that's just a lot of points for a team with a good defense and one of the best young defensive linemen in the game, and Bradley Chubb coming back to form. Now, Andy,
the smart bettors got in early this week for
yeah,
sure.
Big time. Andy, do you ever do anything? Do you ever dabble on the weekends? Is there a game maybe we can tempt you with?
I rarely dabble. I have said, because I'm an upstanding citizen, you know that, and I will be dabbling at whatever point the freaking state of Massachusetts gets off their
high horse
toilet,
yeah,
and actually gives us mobile betting like you can do in New Hampshire and like you can do in Rhode Island. I have considered,
or Connecticut,
because I'm not that far from Rhode Island. I'm a quick, mm-hmm, like 15-minute ride to the border. I have considered my friends at Twin River and opening up the app and going that route, but I haven't done it yet. But, Shine, let me ask you a question, because my favorite game of the 1 o'clock slate, I don't know if you have any interest in, but I think the Chargers-Bengals is a really intriguing football game in terms of Herbert and teams that can they kind of squeeze their way into contender status. So just any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, so Andy, I love this game as well. My favorite prop bet of the day comes from this game in particular, and that's focused all around Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon has been tremendous the last 2 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks ago now, Joe Burrow came out and said, hey, we want to get Mixon the ball. To start the season, the Bengals were actually the number one pass-heaviest offense in football. Since Joe Burrow made those comments, they've now become the number one heaviest run offense in football. Actually, I think they might be top three, not necessarily number one. But either way, Joe Mixon is getting the ball a ton. He is the absolute workhorse back, and he's very good. He scored a touchdown, and I think it's 8 straight weeks. So if you're looking for some prop bets today, you're not really feeling the game, but you want to throw some props out there and just enjoy the actual football game, then Joe Mixon over 91.5 rush yards seems like a big number. It's not. I go over 91.5. I love over 2.5 catches for Joe Mixon as well. He catches, mm-hmm, a lot of balls out of the backfield. He's an exceptional receiver. And then Joe Mixon to score a touchdown, -165. So you're not getting a ton of value there. But Joe Mixon to score 2 touchdowns is +350, which I very much enjoy.
Ooh, that is tasty. I actually have it on FanDuel right now at -150, so I should probably get in on that action ASAP.
There you go.
Shime, so here's the one that I'm just absolutely enamored of, and it could be the death of me as a part-time action player, but at the same time, Miami is on a heater right now. They've won 4 in a row.
They
I know it's been against inferior opponents, and they're going off as a 6-point home favorite, which is pretty big because that spread has also gone a lot of movement this week. I think that because, like you said, it's a tasty slate. They're facing a Giants team that is inept when they have most of their starters in there in the first place. They haven't been able to move to squat. Saquon's always banged up. Now you got Mike Glennon starting on the road against this ferocious defense. I mean, tell me why in the world you wouldn't just want to bang that -6, because this has win by a touchdown or more with the possibilities of other action tied to it, written all over it.
Yeah, I think the Giants' defense, though, can't be overlooked. I think they've been pretty good this season overall. And you never know. Sometimes you get that kind of spark from an opposing, like a new opposing quarterback. You saw it kind of when Andy Dalton came in for Justin Fields with the Bears, like all of a sudden, boom, 60-yard touchdown to Darnell Mooney. So sometimes you get those weird plays in those weird situations because, let's face it, the Dolphins haven't seen Mike Glennon. Nobody's seen Mike Glennon in forever. So they might be able to throw something weird at you. But I do love Miami here, and they are actually one of my favorite teaser legs of the day. Your normal 6-point tease, I love just taking the Dolphins and the Vikings. I think the Vikings over Detroit is as good a teaser leg as you can get. They're 7-point favorites, so you get them down to -1. basically all they have to do is win the football game. You get the Dolphins down to a half a point. Literally all they have to do is win the football game. I think, in my opinion, those are like the two best teaser legs you could ask for this week. And I think that is absolutely the play.
So, Shime, we're obviously going to be watching a big Monday night football game. Ramifications in the AFC East, playoff picture, ramifications for fan bases and how they feel about their team and hype and all that. What do you like or not like about the Patriots and Bills at Highmark Stadium, a name I just learned a couple hours ago, and a windy atmosphere?
Yeah, so I think the weather has been a big narrative going into this game, and I think it's kind of pressuring a lot of people. Pressure may be the wrong word, but it's pushing a lot of people to bet the under in this game. And you've seen the number come down. I want to say it's like 4 points now, and this number might even go down more as the day goes on today. If the weather the weather report continues to hold up, people are going to continue to hammer this number. I know a lot of sharp bettors were hammering it early in the week. I am now inclined to wait, because if it gets anywhere around that 40 number, if it gets under 41, and even like if I get a flat 40 tomorrow morning, I am betting the over in this football game. I am going to go against the public. I am going to put all of my money on the over, because the thing that I've come to realize is that both of these teams, they're going to score points. That's what's going to happen. Buffalo's at home. They're going to play well. This is a prove-it game for both teams. Neither team is going to be in a bag like Buffalo was against the Jaguars, or like the Patriots were in the first half against the Houston Texans. Like, they are going to come out firing on all cylinders on both sides of the football. I think that makes for a great football game, and I want to root for points in a great football game. And I also think weather, a lot of people kind of assume that because it's bad weather, it's going to be a lot of low-scoring football games. It's not necessarily the case. Weather just kind of adds to the chaos. And if it's a chaos-filled game where you're getting interceptions and crazy touchdowns and fumble recoveries that are touchdowns, the over can have a really easy time hitting, especially when it's as low as a number like 40. So in my opinion, I'm waiting on this game right now. I'm excited for this game, unbelievably excited for this game, but I'm waiting to see if I can get that number to come down off of 41 and get down to 40, because if it sits at 40, I am jumping all over it.
All right, so just to recap and Shime, by the way, it's down to 40.5 points. It was 42.5 on Friday, so you may want to bang that over tomorrow and bang it hard. Hopefully you win a lot of money today and you can carry it over tomorrow night. I think there are actually going to be some points. So you love Joe Mixon to score a touchdown under in Chiefs-Broncos, and the Shime Time teaser of the week was the Dolphins, a 6-point favorite at home, and the Vikings, a road 7-point favorite against the Lions. Great stuff as always, my guy. What a great way to finish up our Sports Sunday program. Shimer, you can follow him at Shime Time. He's on the midday show tomorrow. He'll tell you what happened and so much more and get you ready for Pats at Bills. Thanks for the hit, guy. Have a great football Sunday, buddy.
Boys, I appreciate the time. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy all of the great football things. We don't have to worry about a Patriots game today. We get to wait till tomorrow, so this is great. Have a good one, boys.
You too, brother. There's Shime Time joining us on the Harbor One Hotline with the picks of the day. Okay, Andy, we got just a minute left. Your final thoughts and a score prediction from you.
27-20, Buffalo Bills win the game. I think they're the better team, and they're at home. Or I should say, I think they're the more talented team. They're at home. And something that Deuce mentioned earlier, I think they're the closest replication on offense of a Cowboys-Bucks type team that can spread you out, take advantage of your holes in the secondary. No Jonathan Jones, no Stephon Gilmore, now no Kyle Duggar. That's a problem for the Patriots. The wind could play into this game and could make me change my mind, but right now I'm saying 27-20 Bills.
All right, Mike Dussault had it 28-27, Patriots winning by a point. I got it Patriots 23, Buffalo 20. It's an over, it's a cover, and it's a huge win and a hard-fought game. Thank you to everyone involved in the show. Good job by you, Andy Hart at Jumbo Hart. Good job, producer Nick LaPan, Mike Dussault from Patriots.com, John Corrales from Locked On Celtics, and, of course, Shime Time, Chris Shime from The Midday Show here on WEI. Enjoy your Week 13 NFL Sunday, everybody. We are now going to throw it to coverage of Colts at Texans. This has been WEEI Sports Sunday, NFL Sunday, tomorrow night at 6. Let's go, Pats.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.